They change cultures. They're heat seekers. They run at adversity and embrace change. These are the Room Tilters.
Somebody who can change the temperature in a room when they walk in. Mm. And that's metaphorical for somebody who can influence those around them and make such an impact quickly, emphatically, and long-lasting, whether it be an organization, a team, a relationship, whatever it might be.
This is the Room Tilters podcast, presented by Limitless Minds. Co-hosts DJ Eitzen and Harry Wilson, founders of peak performance and leadership consulting company, Limitless Minds, explore how the best and brightest change the temperature in a room. From sports, the military, entertainment and media, clinical psychologists to CEOs, this podcast will navigate what it takes to think big and go far. And now, DJ and Harry.
Listen, today we get a chance to talk with someone leaving a major footprint in many areas, especially in the world of Black women in business. Damara West specializes in consulting and leadership coaching in the professional world. Hey, welcome to the podcast, Damara. We're glad to have you on.
Oh my gosh, Harry, thanks so much for having me. I can't wait. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're really excited. So listen, for our listeners, we're in season two now. And
Harry, wait, yeah, time. Man. Before yeah, man. Season two, man. Don't just try to go right past season two.
Well, listen, the thing is, we're talking to Damara. Damara, like, listen, I saw somewhere she was ranked like number four on Must Listen in Black Women Podcast in 2019.
That was such an honor that we received.
That's cool. And speaking of that, we want the listeners to kind of get to know you a little bit. So, you know, tell us a little about what you do and what you're passionate about.
Absolutely. So, Damara West, I hail you from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Yes, there really is a Kalamazoo. I have been in the entrepreneurial space for about 13 years now, operating a practice called Change Agent Consulting. So it's a national consulting practice, and we specialize in strategic and business planning, diversity, equity, and inclusion, evaluation, leadership development. If it has something to do with capacity building, we probably touched it in some shape or form. In addition to that, I'm a licensed therapist, and I'm trained in a ton of wellness modalities. And so about a year or two ago, as a result of coming in contact with a lot of women who are facing burnout, I felt compelled to start a program called Be Well, Beautiful Woman. We started off with Black Women About Business. We rebranded about a year later to Be Well, Beautiful Woman, to be more inclusive of all women, but still emphasizing a focus on women of color, on Black women, on low-income women. So we are a social enterprise. And our work is all about wellness first, business second, so that female leaders and entrepreneurs can heal, they can live joyfully and abundantly, and they can get the business support that they need in the most culturally relevant way possible. And it's been a lot of fun. We've touched, almost 2,000 women through this Be Well, Beautiful Woman work. And women are really taking a look at their wellness as a foundation by which that they can stand on to have the kind of businesses that they never even dreamed of and really have the kind of life that's rooted in what they desire versus what society tells them. I've learned a lot on this journey, still learning because we never really arrive, but it's been really, really good and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like I feel like I was born to do this. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And if you ask me what that looks like 5 years from now, I won't be able to tell you that because my life has just morphed. It's ebbed and flowed since I started almost 13 years ago.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, like, and just to hear the amount of experience and success that you've had thus far, how do you, coming from, you know, small town Kalamazoo, right? How do you end up in a line of work like this? What brought you to say, you know what, I want to pour into people?
Yeah, so I love that question because I knew at a young age that I wanted to work with people, and that's changed a lot, you know. And so when I was younger, I thought that I wanted to be a pediatrician. And then, you know, years later, I ended up in the AmeriCorps program where I was doing community development work for a nonprofit housing organization. And then I became their homeownership manager and I started to immerse myself in diversity, equity, and inclusion work. So, you know, I feel like I've just always been open. And, you know, I think that for serial entrepreneurs in particular, we don't necessarily have a track and we don't stay on that track. There's a lot of different tracks. And I think that that's what evolution is supposed to be like. I think that we are all put on this planet to become lots of different things and to do lots of different things. And it just so happened those lots of different things are connected to transforming people's lives. And so everything that I've done, whether it's been starting a nonprofit organization that I ran in tandem with my practice, or, you know, my entrepreneurial practice, or this Be Well Beautiful Woman work, or being a licensed therapist, or, you know, a certified professional coach where I'm also teaching people to become coaches themselves, and any number of things, it's all been connected to this idea of changing people's lives, but also with the idea of first and foremost changing my life. A lot of these wellness practices that I've put out, a lot of the anything that I put out in the business space as well, have been things that are tried and tested in my own life. And so, for example, with wellness, you know, I grew up with complex trauma, and a lot of the modalities that I impart in the lives of other people are modalities that I've used to heal myself. They're modalities that I've also utilized to be my most creative self. I tell people often that my best ideas have come on my yoga mat, when I've been out walking, writing in my journal, and all those things help me to expand myself, which also helps me then to expand other people's lives based on what it is that they want for themselves. So I feel like the more that we do for ourselves, the more that we can heal the world. But it starts with ourselves, essentially.
It does. It starts with ourselves. And you know, what's interesting, one thing I like what you just said, you know, being a serial entrepreneur, and with that evolution that it takes, that requires to really be a successful serial entrepreneur, is kind of all these different yellow brick roads. It's not one clear yellow brick road. It's all these different paths, right? And, you know, and now what's interesting about that is with lots of different, you know, lots of different paths become lots of different losses or failures or adversity, right? You know, the more paths you're on, the more chance you're leaving, you leave yourself open for adversity. Now, what I think all of us believe is that, you know, on the other side of adversity is growth. And so I think that's probably where where you get the chance to really build a repertoire for, you know, how to bounce back, be resilient, all these different things. But what are some or one adversity or adversities that you've faced that have really shaped some of this path you're on today?
Yeah, Harry, I feel like we need like a whole day to talk about all the ways in which I have failed as an entrepreneur. And the reality is that my laughter behind it is really, there's a truth to that, because, you know, what we know to be true is that entrepreneurs, what comes with this life is a lot of failure, and we will fail many more times than what we will succeed, even though I've had tons of things that I can celebrate. And so I'll tell you, when we first went into the marketplace with Black Women About Business, there was a lot of tension for me around, you know, my identity as a Black woman. I'm actually multiracial, but I identify as a Black woman. And, you know, all the people that have come into my life, and people that are part of my friend group, and people that have mentored me that come from all walks of life. And so there was a lot of tension around, what does this mean for me to be in this space and only serving Black women, even though knowing that this is an equitable space to be in, right? Like serving one group of people that have historically been left behind and getting the support that they need. For example, you know, the practice of wellness has been whitewashed in many ways, right? So helping people to come back to this indigenous reality that wellness is a birthright, and it comes from your ancestors, and there's lots of ways to practice this in a really accessible way, right? That's equity, and making sure that people have access to it no matter what they can afford to pay for that respective service. And so I'm saying all that to say that when, you know, I want to put that idea on pause, but when we first went into the marketplace, it was a struggle, and I used a lot of the money. Anytime you're birthing something, you know, and as an entrepreneur, you're putting your own resources in it, right? Your own blood, sweat, and tears, your own financial resources. And so my consulting practice was really helping to birth this thing. And I had this big vision around providing these comprehensive supports, similar to like a business incubator that I had gone through not too long before this experience that I had. And so when it got time to launch it, it was like crickets. It was like, so it was wow. Like, I will tell you, and it was one of the most devastating things that I've ever experienced as an entrepreneur, because as a consultant, I found myself in this flow state always. I never had to market my business. I had, you know, I've had several clients that are repetition clients, word of mouth, never. So yeah, I had the website and all of that, but I never had to market my consulting practice, just flow. Mm-hmm. And then as I was building this global brand, what I didn't do was a lot of things, right? And so what I had to do was face myself in the midst of this launch and determine, okay, what went awry within this? Part of what went awry for me is that I think that I was really born to serve all people, with this idea of being intentional about serving people from all walks of life. So no matter who you are, no matter who you love, we want Be Well Beautiful Woman to be a space that you feel like you can call home. And in addition to that, I was really operating in what we call the sacred masculine, right? We have the divine feminine, we have the sacred masculine, and all of us have. So within this sacred masculine space, it's all about knowledge. It's all about what you know. It's all, so I relied on that heavily versus relying on my intuition, presence, connection, starting with what I knew. And so when I was able to get into that, and that's again why my wellness, is so important to me, is because it helped me to get realigned with myself to figure out what is it that I really wanted. For me, it was more about wellness versus business, which is why it's Be Well Beautiful Woman, and we don't even have business in the name anymore. For me, it was also about having a global community representative of the world. It was about having a social enterprise in place where we could partner with, you know, folks that had the resources we needed to be able to offset our market rates in the marketplace. And it was about me really having the right foundation so that I could be in the best place possible for the people that we were looking to serve. So I learned a myriad of things. Now, this was really hard because this was at a time before we transitioned where Black Enterprise named our podcast as one of the top for Black women to listen to. We had to let all of that go based on the rebranding, and we had to start again. Mm. And what I said was, is that if we did it once, we can do it again. And what we've been able to accomplish in this space within the short amount of time, with alignment, with like real, authentic, deep alignment, there is nothing that we can't do in this new space. So I had to grieve what was so that I could birth what could be. And we're still birthing that right now as we speak. So I know that that was a really long answer, but I wanted to give all of that that people knew. And it was devastating for me. It got to the point where it was so stressful. My hair was falling out. I was in a really bad state. And I had spent a lot of my hard-earned savings to birth something that was having no place. There was no traction that was happening. And now there's tons of traction that's happening. So I know that it was the right decision for us to be more inclusive in this space and to take a moment to learn all that we could so that we could apply that and to continue to be open, because we're still learning. You know, we're still in our infancy stage. We've only technically been in the marketplace for 2 years and 1 year with this new brand.
Yeah. Well, I was soaking all that up.
Got a lot of notes over here.
I was like, hey, DJ, I was like, we might have to have tomorrow run for office one day.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm down. And actually, speaking of that, I mean, I don't, you know, Damar, how did you feel when you got the word yesterday that Kamala Harris is now a VP candidate and, you know, a person of color? And certainly we mentioned identity and impact. How did that hit you?
Yeah. So, you know, I really love the fact that we're in this state of the world where expansion is happening, even in the midst of tremendous pain, tremendous unrest. And we're starting to pay attention collectively to things that maybe in the past we've been able to hide from a little bit. And if you're a person of color, mm-hmm. and you have a lived experience, we know that we can't hide from it. It's our lived experience. We have to pick and choose, right? What battles we're going to face based on this Black body that we exist in.
Yeah.
And so what I love about what has happened since we've lost the lives of the precious souls of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and so many other people is that we've seen a shift. And we're starting to pay attention to Black people and to Black women in a way that we haven't before. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't things that need to change. We know there's tons of things that need to change. But I do think that the fact that the ticket looks the way that it does, I couldn't have seen it looking any other way based on the times. And so I'm truly grateful for it. And I feel like it's time. And really, in many respects, it's overdue, right? Because and Black women, and not just Black women, right? But Black women have been in the trenches for a very, very long time. There is so much that's fallen on the Black, on the shoulders of the Black woman and the shoulders of the Black man since we were forced to come to this country. And we've always been out there in the trenches doing amazing work within the context of our families and our communities. And so the fact that we may see for the first time in history a Black woman being in that vice chair role, and knowing that Shirley Chisholm, you know, she laid the foundation, right? To see her legacy being able to potentially be carried on through Kamala is something that's really, really exciting for our times. And to be honest, you know, I would have been glad with, you know, many of the options that were on the list. And so even though, you know, it happens to be Kamala and I'm super excited for her, I would have been half just as equally happy with Stacey Abrams, for example. Right. And right. So what do you think about it?
You know, it's interesting, right? I mean, I came up in an environment in a family where, you know, excellence was expected. Right. You know, our parents, you know, my father and mother would plant these types of visions in our head when we were younger. But what was interesting about the planting of those visions is they weren't always, they didn't always feel real because you didn't see, couldn't see them, right? You didn't really necessarily see it. And obviously when, you know, you see obviously Barack when he came through and Michelle and now, you know, Kamala, but there's been Black leaders across, you know, the spectrum, you know, woven in and out of my experiences. But it seems like, and you mentioned it, like in the midst of what we're going through as a country today, it seems like something, even just a sliver of something to rest our kind of hat on and celebrate, you know. And you know, I have daughters that are mixed race, and you know, and I got three of them. DJ's got three daughters himself that are also mixed race. And so, you know, it's exciting to be able to look at like my 8-year-old Gracie, for example, who I'm sure will be talking about this in school, whether it's live or virtual this year, you know, and for her to be able to really tap in to something that's real for her, you know, so I can plant the vision, but I can also show her, right? Is really important to me. So now it's like, you know, the first thing is like, get your ass out and vote. That's like kind of, that was really my first reaction to it, was like, get your ass up and go vote. Like whoever's celebrating, you can ring the bell, you can do all the different things, you can celebrate, but like, it's not gonna matter if we don't go out and vote, right? So the truth, that was my first thing. Get your ass up and vote was my first reaction to it. But
everybody needs to get up exactly. And do it. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
I echo what Harry says. I mean, I immediately thought about my daughters, and I love seeing visions and examples of what good looks like. And I think that having a Black woman and potentially in the second, you know, highest office in the land, in the world, is extremely powerful. And I think it's something that, you know, like Harry said, I think sometimes we got to sit back and look back and celebrate the progress that has been made, you know, and in the midst of it, it's hard to, because there are so many challenges and adversities that are going on. But I think yesterday was a good day, and I was excited. Yeah. I was excited to see that. So that takes me to the next question. And I love, and as you said it, it just, and because we talk about how words are so powerful, and language is so powerful. And, you know, Be Well, Beautiful Woman. How did you come up with that name? I absolutely love that. And tell us a little bit about that and what that means to you.
And I also think that in the words of Audre Lorde, where she talked about how wellness is still a revolutionary act, I believe that that's still true today, and particularly for women, right? And not just for women, like when we think about this from an intersectional lens, we know that our lived experience based on any respective identity can cause us to have oppression, right? Based on that lived experience. And wellness is one of the things that no one can take away from us, right? Once we can activate these very accessible practices from, you know, being on your yoga mat or journaling or forest bathing or, you know, getting a Reiki treatment, which there's tons of ways that are super accessible, things that we can practice in ourselves, things that don't cost us a dime. And what I know to be true is that the more that we can create space for that, the more that we can heal from the, whatever the lived experiences are of oppression, but also beyond that, it helps us to operate at our highest. And so when I think about operating at our highest, I think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And within Maslow's hierarchy, this whole question around, you know, and this aspiration of self-actualizing. Well, many of us don't get to self-actualize because many of us don't either have the tools that we need to be able to do that, or we don't really understand that we're giving our power away on a regular basis. And so Be Well, Beautiful Woman is really all about carving out spaces so that we can put ourselves first as a reservoir to heal and to live our life at the highest state. It's about having joy and knowledge and peace and love. And when we're having those kinds of emotions, we're actually having the highest level of emotions that we can experience as humans, right? Now, outside of the human realm, I don't know if there are emotions outside of that. I don't know if there's anything more blissful than joy in the afterlife, whatever that is. But for me, I want to be able to impart that into folks right now, right? Wellness is about debunking ideas that society has placed on you, your family has placed on you. It's about defining for yourself who you are and living on your own terms and seeing yourself as powerful and carving out time for celebration and prioritizing joy. Because if you're not having those things in life, then what's the purpose of life? If you don't have deep connections with other people, in part because you don't have a deep connection with yourself, what's the point really of life? And so, and particularly for people who grind like we do, right? Like entrepreneurs grind like nobody else. Mm-hmm. Although I would surmise that, you know, if you look to somebody who's in the working class, they're probably grinding as hard as we are, if not harder, right? So it's all in the eye of the beholder, essentially. And so as I started thinking about like, what is really the heartbeat for me behind this work? And for me, what was very apparent was that the business aspect of entrepreneurship is actually secondary to my wellness. And in fact, the more that I can take care of myself, the more I can give to my business and everything else in life. And so, you know, this is not like a hokey idea. This is the real deal, that if we don't create space for ourselves, how do we expand? Space is a thing that helps us expand. And I'm not talking about just pulling out, you know, a sheet of paper and trying to strategize, think our way through something. I'm talking about just the state of being, right? So wellness was an important thing for me to be in there. You know, targeting women, of course, I love men dearly. And I believe that our work, in fact, we did a Healing into Power series not too long ago, and men were a part of that. So there's going to be times when we invite our fellow brothers into our work because it just makes sense for us to do that. Mm-hmm. But the core right now of our work is about women. So it was important for women to be in there. And this whole idea of just like being, right? Being is about the state. So, you know, all of that together is what birthed Be Well, Beautiful Woman.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, and you also do some leadership coaching, right?
I do a lot of leadership coaching. I'm faculty with Leadership That Works. And so not only am I a certified professional coach, and I work with people individually and couples from, you know, entrepreneurs to folks around leadership, from the C-suite right on down to the first time leader. But then I also train other people to become coaches themselves.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, with our organization, Limitless Minds, you know, we're doing peak performance and leadership consulting. And so, you know, we're kind of seeing and talking to some of the same folks that you're looking to impact. And you know, talk just, you know, quickly about, you know, the impact of what you were just talking about as far as wellness and creating space as a leader. Because a lot of times, you know, we'll think about these things internally as you know, individual me, right? It's just me looking in the mirror and how I'm elevating myself. What's the impact on leadership, and how, if there are leaders listening to this today, how can they leverage this not only for themselves, but for their teams or their organization or their group, or even as a family leader, as a father or a mother, right? Talk about the impact there.
So there's real power in the pause, right? And so some of this is, we're talking about is like the long pause, and some of it is more short term pauses. And the impact from a leadership standpoint is that, let's say, for example, you have to give feedback to one of your team members. Well, if you haven't taken time to pause, reflect on what happened, reflect on what your role may have been, reflect on what their interpretation of that may have been, to really prime yourself to lead from a state of love for the sake of helping to support this person in creating change, whatever that might be. And Brené Brown talks about it really well in her book, Dare to Lead, you know, these 10 areas that we that leaders can look to before they even give feedback, because the idea is that we want to prime people. We want to create an optimal environment so that the person that you're giving feedback to is more apt to receive it. Now, what you can't control is how it lands with them, but what you can control is how you package it so that it can have a gentle landing, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a great example of like pausing, taking a minute before you jump right in. And these are things that I'm still building my muscle around as I work with my team, because I'm very task oriented and, you know, I like to operate in excellence and, you know, I can be really critical, and that's the Virgo in me. I'm like a recovering Virgo in that regard. I'm still in recovery. And so there isn't an arrival point when we're talking about the power of the pause. There's a practice point. And so I think that for a lot of this stuff, there isn't an arrival for anything. We're continuing to practice so that we can be the very best leaders that we can be. I had someone that I was coaching recently that asked me something. They said, well, you know, I want to be supportive of people, but I don't want to do all that work. I don't want to actually connect with people in this way. And I said, well, you know, love, you can't actually get to a place of connection without connection. And so sometimes we're looking for this fast track, but when it comes to relationships, there is no fast track. There's only intentionality, and there's presence, and there's curiosity in order for us to be in solidarity with people. Because at the end of the day, what people care about is, do you give a damn about me? Right? Mm-hmm. You know, Maya Angelou said it, people will forget what you said, they will forget what you did, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And if you want to be able to take people to where you want them to go, that's influence, right? I'm not following you simply because you're a leader. I'm following you because I trust you. So I know that wherever you're going to take me is going to be the right place. And so I'm trusting that you are guiding me there, but that is not something that's created overnight. And so a lot of times people think, well, in order to trust, then people have to earn it. Well, no, in order to trust, you have to trust. In order to receive trust, you have to trust. Like, you don't know if you're going to be able to trust someone until you actually trust them. And so, and part of that, again, back to your question around the state of being, I think part of the being work is facing ourselves and saying, okay, like, how is it that I'm showing up, and where are the gaps, and how can I create space for myself to grow within these gaps that I'm seeing so that I can actually be the kind of leader that I want to be, the kind of human that I want to be.
Wow. Okay. I got my hands up. You might have got a hallelujah. You might have got an amen.
Did you just catch the Holy Ghost? Is that what you just did? Is that what's going on?
I felt virtually a little tingling.
The virtual Holy Ghost?
Yeah, I mean,
I love that.
Oh my gosh. Power in the pause. I love that. You know, it's something actually Russell has spoke on in terms of just, you know, really just kind of slowing down. And ultimately that allows him to speed up and really be successful. But that pause is so important. And then people don't care what you know till they know that you care. I love that. Yeah. And that's, yeah, so yeah. Really good stuff. It sounds like you've been influenced by some pretty awesome people. I'd love to get, you know, an idea of, you know, maybe one or two people that really inspire you have influenced you over the years. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh, there's so many. I do a lot of work around manifestation, and I reference Oprah a lot related to manifestation, because if you know anything about Oprah's life and where she came from and where she is now, no one could have predicted that for her life, yet that's where she is. And so it speaks to the power of practicing things like gratitude, mm-hmm. the power of asking the universe for what it is that you want and working towards it and trusting that the universe is working with you to get you there. And so that for me is very inspirational, not because it's Oprah and she's a billionaire, but it's because her life is a testimony to what can happen when we decide for ourselves who it is that we want to be. And when we decide for ourselves that we are truly the co-creator with the source, God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, in creating the kind of lives that we want. And that has nothing to do with where we've been. And so, and that's real power when we can acknowledge that, when we can lean into that. I would say that so more recently, Gabrielle Bernstein, about a year or so ago, I went on this quest to figure out, like, you know, what is joy? Like, can I really wrap my hands around, my heart around this concept of joy? And how would I even know if, like, my life is rooted in joy? And as soon as I said that, literally within 24 to 48 hours, I got an email about this group for healers, you know, because I'm considered to be a healer. And if you could see my fingers right now, I'm putting that in quotes, because I think that all of us have the capacity to heal ourselves and to heal the world, about this group for healers rooted in Gabrielle Bernstein's book, May Cause Miracles. And so for 6 weeks, I immersed myself in studying using this book, and it totally changed my life. And so I give her a lot of credit. And then I read Rachel Hollis's book, Girl, Wash Your Face. And then there was a follow-up book to that book. That was very impactful. I read both of those books at the beginning of the year. And in general, like, I'm always reading. I'm always, whether it be a book or an article or watching a TED Talk, I believe very deeply in my own professional development. And I'm going to be a student for life. So that's, you know, even these wellness certifications that I get, like, I'm getting it, of course, to serve the world, but ultimately I'm getting it because I'm like a junkie when it comes to developing myself. And I love it, right? So, because I know that there's always more. Like, the more that we work on ourselves, the more that we have to discover about ourselves. It's like the peeling back of an onion. And that's a part of that, operating at our highest, right? I don't know if we'll ever, no matter how much work we do while we're on this planet, we can be at our highest in any given moment, but just know that in that given moment, based on our highest, there's even a place higher than that as we work to cultivate ourselves through a myriad of things.
I love it. Yeah. And you've said a couple times, you said it twice now, heal the world. I like that. And Harry loves Michael Jackson. He's always singing Michael Jackson. So, you know, Harry, you want to chime in here, man?
No, man. I do like that. Listen, Michael's music's great. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I
always
want
to give Harry a chance to sing.
I've kind of come off the Michael thing a little bit. The music I'll listen to, but I kind of come off the Michael things, you know, a couple years ago. But you know, listen, the pipes aren't, man, I got the pipes aren't really warmed up, man. You know what I mean? I got to come on, you know what I mean? We'll hit up some karaoke, you know, we'll throw down some Man in the Mirror or something like that, and we can go.
Hey, that's my jam. Every time I hear it, it touches me.
Yeah, that's that jam. That's the jam right there. Yeah. speaking of like movies and songs and stuff like that. So I got some rapid fire for you, Damara, before you go. Not a ton, just a few. Favorite movie? Go.
Love Jones.
Okay, DJ, what you know about that? DJ, you know anything about that? You don't know, you haven't seen that.
DJ, you don't know nothing about Love Jones. Are you kidding me, DJ?
Listen, that's 90s. I'm a 90s kid. But you have to also realize, Harry will tell you, man, my movie game is
It's not great. Okay, but you know what? I'm gonna give you a pass, DJ.
Okay.
Promise me you're gonna watch Love Jones.
If it's anything, like, now my joint back then was Love and Basketball.
Oh my gosh! Well, you know what? That's like, I would say that's like really close. It's like right underneath Love Jones. Love and Basketball is my shit.
Yeah, I feel you. Okay, one person that you'd like to meet.
Ooh, gosh.
And I'll say this, it can be somebody that's not with us anymore, you know, dead or alive. One person you get to have lunch with him or her.
You know, I think it would be Nelson Mandela.
Okay. That's a good one.
I think it would be Nelson.
Yeah. Okay. So listen, we're in a pandemic, you know. I know some people have been traveling and getting away, going on vacations and stuff, others haven't, but what's your best place to vacation?
Oh my gosh, I have been so many places. I know this is supposed to be rapid fire, and I am like messing up that rapid fire.
You're good.
So, you know, I've been to 27 countries across six continents, and people always ask me, what are your favorites? I have so many. One of my most memorable trips was to New Zealand. And for a lot of reasons, right? Like it's beautiful, and there's so much protected land there, in part because people lost their lives to protect this land, you know, and it's the last country to be discovered in all of the world. And so that's another thing that makes it really, really special. It was the first trip that I had gone away on my own for an extensive amount of time. There was a lot that came up for me emotionally being in this country alone for that amount of time. And so it was a very memorable trip for lots of reasons.
Yeah, that's cool. I have never been there, so I got to check that one out. The last one will be, since you've done all this traveling, right? Your favorite restaurant or really, and type of food might work, but like, where's your favorite? What's your go-to meal?
I love all kinds of food, but I will tell you, Italian is like my go-to. It's like,
see, so DJ,
whenever something, like when we were on the road, you know, when we were on the road, at least previously, whenever something good would happen, you know, new client, new deal, something happened good in the family, we were like, listen, let's go get some Italian. That's like our celebration food. You know what I mean? That's what that is.
I don't know. Like, is it like the comfort? Is it
I think it is.
Is it the bread? Is it, I don't know, yeah. But it's like,
I think it's all of that.
It makes me so happy every time I eat it.
It's comfort food, man. It's comfort. Well, look, my last question, which I didn't have planned here, but I wanted to ask because I've been to Kalamazoo. I used to work for Stryker.
Oh, my God. You did?
Yeah. What, Harry? Yeah. So, I mean, from 2010, 2011 to 2014.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I've been to Kalamazoo. It's a nice little, people don't realize that, you know, Kalamazoo has stuff to offer. What would you say Kalamazoo would be known for?
Yeah, so I would say that one of the things that has put us on the map has been the Kalamazoo Promise, right? So it's, as you know, an opportunity for any child that's a part of Kalamazoo Public Schools to go to school, any college within the state, at either free or at a fraction of the cost. And so many communities across the country modeled their Promise program based on our Promise program. And then I would say that a lot of people end up coming back to Kalamazoo after they leave here during retirement age, because it is a nice community for families. Mm-hmm. For the size of our community, we have a nice size arts community. Of course, when you compare it to places like New York and Chicago, like we pale in comparison, but for a community our size. And we have a lot of generous donors here, right? So the reason why we have the Promise and some of the other major initiatives within the community around economic development and whatnot has been based on folks like the Strikers that invest in our community. And there are several of those. We call them private donors, but really everyone speculates who they are. Mm-hmm. But I would say that more than anything, people come back here because it's very slow. It's a nice place to raise families. You know, Michigan in general is known for, you know, the abundance of nature. We have beautiful water, you know, bodies of water here because of the Great Lakes. I'm actually going on a road trip in September so that I can take in my state a lot more because we have a lot of treasures here in the natural.
Pure Michigan.
That's why we call it Pure Michigan. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Like, I just came back. We were up in Michigan for 6 weeks, up in northern Michigan, up near Petoskey in a place called Harbor Springs.
Nice. Yep, I'm familiar.
Yeah, and so that whole, I mean, I love all of Michigan. I think it's a great state. I love Western Michigan, you know, and certainly the lake, you know, up and down Western Michigan. So kudos to Pure Michigan. Listen, Damara, thanks for being on with us. We appreciate it. Excited to follow you. Excited to connect, and looking forward to watching you thrive.
Thank you guys so much. It has been such a pleasure being with you all. I had a lot of fun, and I'll be watching you guys as well, because I know you're making some waves and you're going to make even bigger waves moving forward. I just know it.
No, we appreciate that. Thanks for your support. Yeah. And thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you.
You've been listening to the Room Tilters podcast, hosted by DJ Eitzen and Harry Wilson, presented by Limitless Minds.